Seth said last week that intimacy paves the way to influence. And the closer we are together, the more influence that we have as a church. And this sermon series follows right on the tail of that one. And it's talking about how we take that intimacy that we have together, that influence that we have, and we take it outside of the four walls and do something in the community around us. And when I'm talking about community, I'm going to specify my terms. When I'm talking about community, what I really am specifically talking about is Springfield right now. Because I truly believe that a light burns closest to its home. We need to have the strongest influence in the community around us. And then that influence paves the way to having influence everywhere else. And so when I'm talking about our community, I'm talking specifically about Springfield today. So I want you guys to keep that in mind as we're continuing forth. And sometimes I may spout out the word community. And what I really want us to understand is that I'm talking about Springfield, and I'm talking about Northridge, and I'm talking about these areas that are around us. The ones that we have a direct effect on, the places that we work, the places that we have friends, the places we meet, our stomping grounds, things like that. So when we're talking about community, that's what we're talking about. And together, I guess we could probably agree that there is a problem in our community. You know, no community is perfect. And Springfield has experienced a steady increase of homelessness, a drastic increase in people claiming both welfare and food stamps. And here in Springfield, actually, primarily only your low-paying jobs are available, the ones that are under $12 an hour, the ones that's really hard to raise a family on right now. And actually, according to the director of a homeless shelter here in Springfield, about 20% of the adults who are in shelters right now actually have a job, but the job isn't paying well enough to be able to afford rent on a daily basis. And these are specifically probably adults that have children that need a larger house and can't do, you know, something like a small one-bedroom apartment. So our quality housing is unavailable to about 20% of the people in our shelters who actually have jobs but can't afford anything. And with an increase in poverty, and this has been proven year after year and after year, with an increase in poverty comes an increase in both drug trafficking and gang-related crimes. And so we know that there's a problem in Springfield. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to feel bad, or I'm not telling you this for a guilt trip. But we need to acknowledge that there is something that needs to be worked on here in Springfield. And right along those same lines, I also want you to understand as well that I'm going to do my best to have what I like to call a guilt-free sermon on helping the poor, which seems, when you think about it, seems really hard to do because usually there is some sort of amount of guilt involved. But what I really want to do and what I really hope to achieve, and you guys can talk to me about this later, is I hope to empower you. I hope to give you guys a sense of confidence, a sense of power in yourselves, so that you know that you can go out and do things. And it doesn't have to be something hard. It doesn't have to be something complicated. What it needs to be is an extension of what God has gifted you with, your talents. So the main point of this sermon today is that God can use your talents to serve in your community on His mission. God can use your talents, those very things that He has given you, to serve on His mission. I'm thinking back to the time when I first realized something along these lines, that I had a heart for things. And actually, it happened at Rainbow Table. I was actually in the back of the Rainbow Table. I was washing dishes, like any good man should, right? I was washing dishes in the back, and I had just come up front because I wanted to see, you know, who was coming through the line to smile at some people, shake hands, and maybe look like a pastor, which is really hard to do for me. But I saw these people going through the line, and I saw person after person after person, and I was standing there 10 minutes, and we were still going and still going, and there was a line out the back. And what struck me the absolute most was when I looked down and I saw a little child going through this line with his parent. And it's easy for me to dismiss an adult who has poverty, because sometimes you can say, well, maybe it has to do with something that they've done. It's bad decisions on their part. You know, we can dismiss that easy. But when you see a child, it's really hard to dismiss that. And that's when I realized, and this is not guilt, but that's when I realized that God had given me a heart to help those people. God had given me a heart, and he had put me in a position where I can help people. He had put me as a pastor in a church, and an associate pastor in a church, and as a missional pastor where I can help people on a different level than I can as someone who's just working. And then I can compel people to help them as well. So I realized that God had given me these talents to help. And when I think about it, I think about that little child, that God had given me these talents to help. And it's not that I feel guilty that that child's there. I did. But the more and more I thought about it, I realized that this is a blessing that God has given me. He's shown me where my heart is. And he's shown me how he's blessed me and how he's given things in my life to affect someone as small as that little child. And when I think about that, I think, wow, it's amazing that God has given us blessings and God has given us talents that we can utilize. And the Bible is very clear on this point. If you guys would turn with me to Matthew 25, we're going to start reading at 31, but I want to give you a little bit of background. Matthew 25 has a series of three parables in it, and they all go right into each other, but I really want to focus on two of them right now. The first parable, and I'm not going to quote this strictly out of the Bible, but the first parable involved a rich landowner, and he had three slaves, and to one slave he gave 5 talents, to one slave he gave 2 talents, and to one slave he gave 1 talent. And the slaves went out and they were told, do something with these talents that you've been given. And so then the rich owner came back, and the slave with 5 talents said, Master, I started out with 5 talents, and here, now I have 10 talents. The other slave said, Master, I started out with 2 talents, and here, now I have 4 talents. And then the other slave said, Master, I knew that you were a rich, calculating man, so I took that 1 talent that you gave me, and I buried it so no one would take it. And all I have to return to you with is 1 talent, which you've given me. And the master said, you terrible slave. He said, you have no part with me. Now go outside to the place where everyone's in misery. And so right there, Jesus is talking about, you've been given things and we have a responsibility to do something with those, to multiply them, to do something. And then right in, he goes into the parable that we're going to talk about. There's no break. There's no anything. It's almost as if this is all one continuous thought. So if you would start reading with me on Matthew 25, 31. This is kind of a long chapter, but I'm hoping that we get the point and we'll go on with it. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. So right there we're talking about when Jesus comes back. That's a common theme in all of these parables. When Jesus comes back, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So right there we're talking about when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a judgment. Just the same way as with the parable of the talents. We're going to be called into account for the things that we've done. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Those are the sheep that he placed on his right. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And these people are like, okay, wait a second. Then the righteous will answer him. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? So these sheep are on top of things. They're like, okay, Jesus, we never saw you. We didn't do anything for you. What are you talking about? And Jesus says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Sometimes we can find the face of Jesus even in the poor people who come through the rainbow table line, even in the small child, even in the person begging for food on the side of the street, even for the person struggling paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes we see the face of Jesus. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? I can imagine that the way they're saying it is different than the way the blessed are saying it. The blessed are probably like, when did we do that? And then the cursed are probably like, where were you? We didn't do that for you. What are you talking about? You know, they were probably like, huh? We didn't do anything for you. You weren't here. Why should we have a problem because of that? And Jesus says the same thing to them. He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do to me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The implications of this verse are fairly clear. And I don't want to stand on these right now. Because like I said, I want to empower you. I want it to be guilt-free. But the implications are there. And do you see the connection between these two parables? One, a parable of the talents, talking about God has given you something. Go do something with it. Don't just hide it. And two, the same line of thinking, talking about helping those that Jesus called the least of these, those who were in prison, those who need clothes, those who need food. The connection is there. And I think Jesus means it to be that way. I think Jesus means it to be that way because he's telling us that these talents that we've been given by God need to be utilized in this mission to serve the least of these in this world. God can use our talents on his mission in this world to serve our community. If you take nothing else from this, I want you to take that away. The talents that God has given you, he will use and he can use to serve the least of these. And so, the big question to all of this is, what do we do? Right? That's what I ask. What do I do? I read these things. I see God saying, use your talents. I see Jesus saying, serve the people that are the least. I see the implications of the parable. What do I do? And so what I want to point out here is some of the talents that we have in this congregation. So I'm going to ask for a raising of hands. Does anybody in here know how to can? Can you can? Does anybody know how to make bread? Does anybody know how to cook? Can anyone teach someone how to cook? These are all talents that God has given us to help those in our community who are economically struggling. Those of you who can. Not the French dance, sorry. Those of you who are able to can. Does that save you money in the long run? You're able to save money. Those of you who make bread and can do it well, unlike me at my house. Does that save you money in the long run? Those of you who know how to cook and can cook well, does that save you money in the long run? Those of you who know how to save money, I'm not going to ask that question. Those of you who know how to save money, does that benefit you in the long run? And wouldn't all of these talents be great for someone who is economically struggling to know how to do? If they help you, inevitably, they're going to help somebody else. And those are just an example of little things in our life that we thought, okay, this is a neat thing to know. But they can enormously help someone else. These talents that God has given you, and whether you admit it or not, God has given you the capacity for being able to cook, because no matter how much you teach some people to cook, they just can't do it. God has given you these abilities. God has given you these talents. God has put you in a place where you can use these talents. And now God is calling you to take those talents and teach someone else to help them out. And these are small things. Often when we think about going out and helping the community, we like to think in large scale. Am I right when I say that? We like to think, if I go out and give $1,000, or if I go out and spend every day. And while God has called some people to that because they have a heart for it and the ability for it, God has also called the person with two talents and one talent just as much as he has called the person with five talents to invest those. We have a story here of someone in our group here, someone in our group who has had a heart for things, who has utilized their talents and their abilities and what God has given them and taken it out and done something with it. So I'm going to introduce this story here. The name is right there. You'll know who it is immediately.
I was out at the park with my friend Alex, and we were feeding the ducks, and I looked over and I saw a man walking around, and he went over to the picnic shelter and he laid down on a picnic table. And I was wondering what he was doing at first, and I realized that he was probably homeless. Your heavy loads, lay down your burdens, find rest for your soul. And I was thinking, typically a lot of people think when they see a homeless person, they must need food, they must need water, and other necessities like that. But what really struck me was something a little different, and that's what I was thinking. I wish he had a blanket. There's a lot of fear that goes with this as well, and it's a sense of, I guess we're afraid that God's not going to carry through, and we're afraid of what God's going to do through us if we let him have full control. But when he has full control, I found out it works a whole lot better than my control. Lend me your reason, we'll break bread. The Lawrenceville youth group to a church called The Rock, and we went to a service there, and we helped serve a meal to some people. And the church typically, it attracts people who are seeking out a meal, so typically we get a lot of homeless people there. And I just set them out on the table, and the first person to come up to me was a little older lady. She just came up to me and said, "Are these for a raffle, or can we buy these from you, or how is this working? And I said, oh, you can just have one. And she stopped and looked at me and said, I can just have one? That God was working through this project, and this is what He intended to happen. And I gave away about 30 blankets that day, and God just really gave me a lot of opportunities to bless people through this. Changed my heart in a way that I could see compassion for other people, and the same compassion that Jesus showed to everyone else, and that He's shown to all of His children, and that's what everyone deserves to see. Jesus has called us to be salt and light in the world, and to stand out from the rest and to show everyone who God is and how incredible and all-encompassing and gracious He is. And by going out and doing these kinds of things, we can show that to everybody.
One of the things that really impresses me about that, actually, there's quite a few things that really impress me about that. But one of the things that really impressed me about that is her age. How young she is. Her talents, the abilities are great. Her resources are small. But she didn't go out and do it, and it wasn't something like gigantic. It wasn't something that took her years to form. It wasn't something that took up a gigantic chunk of her life. She had a desire to do something. God placed something on her heart. And she used what she had, the ability to find bargains, the ability to go out and buy blankets. God had blessed her with a job. And she bought blankets. And she went out and she gave them to people. Debbie's beaming over there. It's not that it has to be a gigantic thing that we do. It's not that it has to be something incredibly taxing on our time. It's not that it has to be something that requires a large amount of our money. It just needs to be something that God has laid on our hearts. God can use our talents to serve our community on His mission. God can use our talents to serve our community on His mission. So, I want to end this because I don't want to detract from that, but I want to end this with a couple of very practical needs that our community has right now. One, and I've learned these from going to various meetings, community meetings, Nehemiah meetings. One is that our community has a large population of people who cannot afford the basic necessities of life. They can't afford food. They can't afford a house. They can't afford good drinking water. And so there are many, many organizations in Springfield who desire to help people with these things. But one of the ones that North Hills has been partnering with for years is called Rainbow Table. And if you didn't know, we have Rainbow Table in July. And we work every Tuesday. Is it 5:30? Every Tuesday. What was that? 5. Every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And the desire of Rainbow Table is to reach out to the people who are struggling with these things and provide relief for them in a tangible way. Because when you have a heavy burden, for someone to come alongside you and help you carry that burden for at least a little while, the relief is tremendous. And then people see who Jesus is in you, and that we see who Jesus is in them. And so that's one of the ways that we can get involved. And the second thing is that the big desire right now for many of the church organizations here in Springfield is for people to go out and mentor. Because while when we help people with poverty, we deal with the symptoms of the disease, when we mentor children, we're desiring to cure that disease. Did you know, in California, the amount of prisons that they build is based on how many children can read by third grade? What affects a person in their life? And we're talking elementary school, middle school, and high school. The things that occur in their life determine the direction and quality of their life later. And so we're looking for mentors, people who are, please, above the age of 18, that are willing to mentor middle school and high school age students. And we're looking to the brave few who are willing to mentor men between the ages of 18 and 24 who have a child. If you're interested in something like that, us as that group, that missional group that meets every Sunday, we desire to go in and do that. And so we'd like to find a group of people who are willing to go in with us. And so if you have any questions about that, talk to me. If you'd like to be a part of that, talk to me. Then I can give you information, and we'll start going soon. I'm actually going to meet with the leader of this group called One-to-One Mentoring this Monday. And we're going to talk about what needs to be done and what steps we need to take to get people involved. And so there's two very tangible ways that we can get involved in the community right now, and two great needs that our community has. But there are myriads, a large amount of small needs in this community as well. Something as simple as teaching someone to can. Something as simple as teaching someone how to cook well. Something as simple as teaching someone how to bake bread. Something as simple as buying blankets and providing them for people who need them. They're very simple, tangible things. And as a community, we have so much talent. Every one of you, God has gifted us in the greatest ways. And so while maybe I can't provide one thing, someone else can. And while they may not be able to provide that thing, I might be able to provide something else. God has given us a community of believers to accomplish His goals in this community. And so the power comes in what God has given us. God has given us heart and abilities and a group of people to partner with to accomplish His goals in Springfield and our communities around, because I know some of you don't always live in Springfield. And so the power is there. We all have this great, vast wealth of power to pull from. We all have talents. I know some of you have so many talents that it shames me to think of how many talents I have. It's a matter of utilizing those. And I think back to the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a man who was beaten up, had all of his clothes taken, had all of his money taken. And a rich priest walks by and goes to the other side and walks right on past. A nobleman walks over him and just walks right over him. I don't want to touch that. And then a Samaritan comes by. And the Samaritan is riding his donkey. And he sees the man, and he gets down off of his donkey, and he helps the man. But I think back, to the first step that that Good Samaritan had to take. And that was, get off of your donkey and go do something. He had to get off of where he was and move. There's a vast amount of power here in this congregation. I know it. There's a vast amount of talents. There's a vast amount of abilities in this talent, in this group. We just got to do it. We just got to go out and do something. And it could be something small, something that you feel is insignificant, but may affect someone on the grand scale of their life. It may be something that doesn't mean much to you, but it can affect someone's life until they die. And honestly, it can affect what happens when Jesus comes back for them too. And the greatest thing of all is that when we do things like this, it doesn't just affect someone else, but it affects us. Because when we serve, we see Jesus in those people. So I want to end there. If you guys would pray with me. God, we thank you. God, we come to you today and we ask that you would show us our heart and show us our talents. Help us to be blessings to this world and help us to serve our community on your mission. God, we thank you that you provided for us so immensely. God, we thank you that you're here with us. We thank you for the power that you've given us. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.